there's no real smooth way to make a transition from Mason Williams' Them Poems to a conversation with Sharon Nelson, but we will make an attempt anyway. Welcome, Sharon.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah. We offered you a chance to read one of Them Poems, and you gracefully declined.
And I appreciated that you accepted the decline.
Sharon, of course, is the retiring Washington State Senate Majority Leader. What's it like to step aside? And it must be anticipation of what's next must be really wonderful to just think about, you know, stepping into private life. But tell us about it.
Well, about a year ago, I started thinking about when I would retire from the legislature. Mm-hmm. And then we got the majority, mm-hmm. and serving as majority leader is a real thrill. I have an incredible caucus. We got so much done. Our access to democracy package on voting, protecting women's reproductive health. But a year ago, my sister died from cancer. And I was not able to be with her, except for a very short period of time. And I started reflecting on what life is about. And my husband is a few years older than I am, and he is retired. And I thought, it's not fun to see him just take vacations while I'm in Olympia. I have a
Duking it out.
Yeah, a 5-year-old and a 22-month-old grandson. And I haven't been able to see them as much as I should. And my mom turns 90 on September 11th.
Wow.
She's still, by the way, is mad at the terrorists for ruining her birthday.
Yeah. We have another friend named Jerry. Same thing.
Yeah. So it was also time to spend more time with her. And I feel very positive about the 11 years I've been in the legislature. The 7 years I served with Dow at the county council as his chief of staff. So it's a good time to step away, leave the legacy I wanted, and the Senate in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's really true that a politician leaves office to spend more time with their family.
In this case, that's definitely the reason. And to ride my e-bike.
Oh, yeah, you have an e-bike?
We have e-bikes.
Oh,
my husband and I bought them a year ago.
Uh-huh.
It was a very tense time because we were trying to retake the majority. And I went
on your e-bike?
No.
Because you could go faster than them if they're on regular bikes.
But it was one of those where I went on a bike ride with a friend, just having ridden a bike here on island, and I went, I feel like I'm 20 again.
Yeah.
And it was just delightful. So we invested in them, and now I have 750 miles on mine.
Oh,
and
excellent.
On Cove Road.
Not quite Cove. Although Cove is wonderful with the switchbacks.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Cove is a tough one on a regular bike.
Yeah. Well, even on e-bike, you have to work.
Yeah.
So we're just changing our style.
You know, we accept e-bikes at Passport to Pain.
We will actually be on vacation taking my mother somewhere for her 90th birthday.
Oh, okay. Where do you go on your 90th birthday? Disneyland?
Vegas.
Vegas. Vegas.
That's where she wants to go.
Oh,
Wayne Newton's still alive.
So, yeah. So my sister's flying in from the East Coast, and we'll take mom down.
Well, can we talk about the midterms?
Uh-huh.
And I want to get into some more local stuff, but
for those of you under the age of 30, that's an election that comes in between the presidential elections, and it's very important.
This has been kind of haunting me this time around. I've just been thinking. I've always thought that, what can I do? And I feel like I haven't done enough. And that's probably true of a lot of people. They give money to a candidate. There's not anything really satisfying about that. You don't feel like you know where that money's going. It just, you support the party or the candidate.
You can express your opinion, but around here it's preaching to the choir.
There's sitting on a phone bank, but, you know, robocalls are coming at us hot and heavy from all kinds of places, and I just wonder how a phone bank can even cut through anymore, and who wants to get hung up on over and over again. And I know giving money is important, but like I said, it never feels like something that's a tangible impact, and I want to do something this fall. And so I wondered what would be more impactful. Registering voters, going to a competitive district and actually driving people to the polls on election day, Or is live persuasion really where it's at? Getting on the phone with undecided voters and really trying to tell them what, you know, what their choices are and trying to persuade.
Or even knocking on doors like I did in Arkansas.
So the variety of things you can do, and it depends on how much time you have to give and or money to give. But we have some really competitive races in the state Senate this year.
Yeah.
Right now, I have a majority of one. And that makes it difficult because not every Democrat votes the same way. I have three from very rural districts, and they have to represent their district. That's why they were sent to Olympia. But they're also respectful that, you know, the party is more progressive than maybe their district. We had the chance to pick up 3 to 4 seats, and it would make a huge difference, including on gun regulations. And part of it is investing, if you can, in cash. But the other is helping knock on doors. Every weekend, our candidates, and usually every afternoon, they are out knocking on doors. I call it retail politics. When you are working on a state legislature, you've got to go and meet. And that means you have other people who need to help you carry the literature, help knock on the doors so you go further than just one individual. That's happening every Saturday and Sunday in competitive races. And additionally, phone banking does work because it isn't a robocall. It's getting on the phone and saying, "Hi, I'm Sharon Nelson. I'm calling you and asking that you vote. And I'm hoping that you'll vote for, in the 30th district, could be Claire Wilson, who's the Democrat who's running against Mark Malosha. Mark Malosha actually said that women who marched in the March for Women were un-Christian and un-American, and I hope you'll vote for Claire." That's the kind of thing you can do. And once you meet a candidate, and frequently you can fall in love with them. They are hardworking, wonderful people, and it's helping in that regard. Those are on-the-ground things that people can do. I went to United for Democracy, I think it was May or June, and we were talking about people feel disenfranchised, should they vote? Voting isn't about me. It's not about you. It's about the people who need us to have people in the legislature for them. I represent White Center. It's a huge immigrant population. Right now, what I see is a fear of ICE, a fear for their families to go out, and all of that is real. Some of them, yes, can vote. Some can't, and those are children. You need to think about, if you're not voting, who you're leaving behind. Every vote counts. And I've learned that really the hard way with this Trump administration. You take a look at what has happened to children in cages and others, and I talk to people, and they say, "Oh, I didn't vote in the presidential election. You know, I'm okay. We have seen the result. You may not have been happy with one candidate or the other, but we have seen the result. And it is radically affecting this country. The only way to take it back is, one, to vote, and two, to help candidates you learn to believe in. Because we have to take our country back. And in this state, we had to take the Senate back. We were under Republican control for 5 years. And we saw that what that meant. And it was not pretty for the people of this state.
I've seen and heard disturbing projections about youth turnout. And, you know, I really anticipated that this cycle we'd see a lot more young people voting. And the projections, though, aren't that different from what we've seen in the past. How do you break through with a generation that feels utterly disenfranchised and have a sense that their vote really does not count? How do you break through to the young people?
Well, I have to say our state party, the Democratic Party, is under the leadership of Tina Podolowski, and she's done a great job in working on addressing that and reaching out. Part of it is registering them to vote. Washington Bus does that, and it's nonpartisan, but they go out and register people to vote. And what they do then is follow up with a postcard that said, "Are you voting? You promised to vote."
That's good.
And it's really, and they call it trick or treat. They do it on Halloween. That's the kind of thing that is important. And the other thing is for our candidates to be able to relate to them. And right now we
without looking goofy or talking down to them.
Right. We have a dynamic group of women running for the state Senate. This is the first time that I can think of that largely we have women candidates. And I think also they have a better ability, being gender specific, to reach out to younger people. Because they're moms, they're aunts, they're grandmas. But for the millennials, I'm hoping, and younger, I do know that my daughters are both, they're 33 and 30. they have not been politically active until the last year and a half. And I've watched them change, and I'm hoping others do. They are awake and aware of what is happening in our country.
Everyone seems to talk about young people needing an exciting candidate to get their interest and for them to get behind. This election, we've heard so much about it being not about exciting candidates, but about just being anti-Trump and the focus. I was just at a party last night, and there everyone was saying, well, you know, is there any change to the Democratic platform? We don't know. All we hear is anything but Trump, and that isn't going to excite kids.
And that's why it's getting them engaged in campaigns. Last year, when we took the majority, we had the 45th dynamic woman named Monka Dhingra from Redmond, Kirkland area. Her son and the high school adopted her campaign. They are still out on the campaign trail today because she's up again. That was a special, so she has to run again. I'm seeing other campaigns where high schoolers are getting involved. And that's important because once they get to know the candidate, even though that candidate is older than maybe they'd prefer, they get to see the vision. They get to see how much they care about people, about their education, about their student loans, about the fact that they can't buy a house, you know, if they're older and in the millennial because of student debt. And that's why it's important to get to know these people. And on the local level, you can. It's harder at the national level.
Almost impossible.
It's almost impossible. And I would say where people want somebody who's really exciting, also take a look at their platform and what they care about, where they came from. Because that's why they're running. They're running because they care deeply.
And with high schools, even if only a few of the seniors are actually old enough to vote, you're priming the pipeline for later on. You're letting them know that it does make a difference, that it is a representative government, but only if you vote for a representative
who actually listens to you.
So it seems that, you know, Donald Trump is sucking out all of the oxygen, and we keep being warned that, you know, dastardly deeds are being done while we're obsessing over his latest, you know, scandal du jour. Is that happening at the state level as well as the national level, where people are kind of taking their eye off the ball and things are being done behind the scenes that perhaps are kind of hidden away just because we don't notice due to all of the noise happening in the you know, at the higher levels of the media discourse?
I don't think so. I think the Trump effect in this state, what we're seeing from some polling we're doing, is that Republicans are disenchanted with their own party. And that seems reasonable based on what is happening. Suburban moms are not at all in favor any longer of the Republican Party. They are leaving it and probably moving towards the independent. But at the state level, it's always pretty much business as usual. What we have to focus on when we're there is the budget is first and foremost. Most of that goes to education. Over half of it goes to education, and you then have higher education. You also have then the environmental factors, Department of Ecology, DNR, which right now is busy fighting fires. So for us, the platform is constantly the same or the agenda. The difference is what you will actually pass. We had some areas where we wanted to protect women's reproductive health care, and that was actually in reaction to what was happening at the national level, that we knew there was some jeopardy. We can do that at the state level. We can actually try to do some things to offset what's happening on the Obamacare repeal that's happening. Those are just the facts. The idea that something nefarious is happening down in Olympia is not what I see. What you're actually seeing is trying to offset something that may be coming down the pike or preempt it, or just you find a law that was written years ago you need to correct and you fix it.
What kind of nefarious goings on in Olympia have you heard rumors about or referred to?
The only thing is there have been a couple of situations down there where someone ended up under investigation for improper activity. And both of those have been in the press. It was Representative Manuel and Representative Sawyer. That's about as nefarious as I've seen. And both of those were on the House side, and I would say they took action as quickly as they could.
So Jay Inslee is touring the nation, and with a stated goal of beating Trump in the midterms and again in 2020. What do you think of the whole beat Trump platform? how does that get done? What's being offered as an alternative? Is it smart to make it all about beating Trump, or is it just as important to make sure that you're putting forth what, you know, what you can do, what you can put in the in place of the kinds of policies that we're seeing?
For any candidate who ultimately is successful in running for the presidency, it's also going to be about their vision.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have formed their opinion of the current administration and the White House, but it's also what is their vision. And part of it is going to be undoing the damage of this presidency.
Mm-hmm.
What he's done to the environmental agencies is abhorrent, and certainly that is something that Governor Inslee would address quickly. But there's a lot more as far as what's happening as far as education with Betsy DeVos.
Yeah.
That's going to have to. But whoever it is going to have to state their vision. And I'm pretty sure that's where the Democratic Party will be.
We're here with retiring Washington State Senate Majority Leader Sharon Nelson, who lives over there on Maury Island. We know Sharon, of course, from going all the way back to the Glacier Northwest, the gravel mine, one of your crowning achievements, and really kind of the thing that probably steered you down the path you've been on more than anything else. Or was it that failing septic system that got it all started?
The failing septic system, and really it was incredibly bad design and bad soil, taught me something about trying to get someone to respond to you.
Yeah.
At that point in time, I couldn't get the county to respond to us, and
yeah,
we were in trouble. But it was Dow who said, okay, are you serious about this problem? I said, yes. And he said, well, we have a task force on sewage. Do you want to get on it? And I said, sure. We actually got consumer protection legislation passed 2 years later. It was not where I all of a sudden said, yes, I want to get into politics.
But that was where your citizen activist agenda began.
It began, but about the same time, I always laugh and say, and then I fell into a strip mine. And that was where I really got to know some of our politicians, and including Senator Patty Murray, Congressman Jim McDermott, and Dow.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see how much good can be done through the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate to be hired by Dow as his chief of staff. In the 7 years at King County Council, I am very proud of the history that he had, and I was able to help him with and support. And then I had the opportunity to move to the state, and it came to be that I was on jury duty, and Senator Polson decided he was going to not stay, and all of a sudden I went up for lunch because I was working at King County, and Dow said, are you running? I said, for what? And he said, Eric Polson's resigning. You'll need to know by midnight, and that's how it came to be.
Wow. You had that much notice.
I had that much notice.
Quick decision.
And then I ran for the appointment and made it with 9 other opponents, and then 3 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate.
What do you wish you could have gotten done that didn't happen while you were in office? I mean, you're still in office, but
till January 12th.
Yeah.
I can't really think of much. My two issues that I'm the most proud of is, one, being able to get money to buy the strip mine or the gravel pit.
Oh, yeah.
But Dow also, we did 10 or 12, and he did $26 million. But the other thing was combating and curtailing payday lending.
Uh-huh.
Which was a battle royal in 2009, and now about 25% of the payday lenders are still in the state that were here at that point in time. It was a raging business, and
a racket, and
it was awful. And today, it is a very small business comparatively, and they have come back several times for another battle, and we have won repeatedly against them.
Let's talk about Vashon for just a second. We have a difficult ferry system. We have the threat of losing health care. We have increasing property taxes. How do we keep Vashon livable? Or is this a one-way path that we're on? Or can these things be turned around? Can Vashon become... can we head off this feeling that it's just becoming a place for well-off people?
It's going to be difficult, to be blunt. The ferry system, because it competes for funds on transportation with all the roads projects and whatever, the ferry caucus has been, and it's bipartisan, bicameral, so it's both the House and Senate, both Republican and Democrat, have been very successful in curtailing some of the concepts that came forward to increase rates even more, but also in getting 7 new ferries since 2010. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget our fleet was not in good shape when the Steel Electrics went down. So we've built 7 new boats, and that's expensive. We need more. Fortunately, we have a governor from Bainbridge who understands that.
That'll help.
But as far as curtailing the cost there, it's hard because there's a certain amount we have to recover to run the boats. A bigger threat that worries me is actually the water taxi. It is King County, but it's a King County-wide property tax. And there are 2 water taxis, one out of West Seattle and one out of Vashon. And that was something that Dow, when he was in the council, helped put together along with the flood district. But it's going to be under constant review, I'm sure.
Does that translate threat?
And threat. I mean, and people need to be vigilant because it does just benefit one district. And that is District 8, which is where we live.
We were talking to Patty, our favorite ferry worker, up at the North End the other day about just what's going on. And we were we were saying, do they ever talk to you guys? Because you're right there. You know, you see how the schedule works with the ferries and what makes sense and what wouldn't make sense. And it's, no, actually, we're the last people they ask.
And yet, the ferry workers, the dock workers here, are the first people who hear the complaints.
Yeah, and it just got us thinking about this new system that supposedly is being talked about, the new schedule where there will be many more sailings where you leave Vashon, go over to Southworth first, and then go over to Fauntleroy. There's some aspects to that that make a certain degree of sense, where you're putting the predominant the avails going with the flow of the traffic. You know, if it's the time of day when everybody's going to Seattle, then you have more opportunities to get off the island. But if you are coming back way early, well, you're probably going to have to sail to Southworth first. You know, is that going to go through, do you think? Is this where we're headed for a radical overhaul of the way the ferry schedule works?
I don't know yet. I mean, they are doing outreach, which is really important. However, in that outreach, the most important thing you can do is provide comments that are thoughtful and well-founded. That is actually what a bureaucracy will listen to. Mm-hmm. When you're just jumping up and down, in my opinion, it's not as effective. Yeah. And it's also not as effective with your legislators. You know, suggestions, recommendations, you know, it worries me as far as going through Southworth. That really increases the time. But when you take a look at this route, Vashon is not the growth opportunity. It is Kitsap County and Southworth.
Yeah.
And that is the issue that we have. So far, the legislators have worked well together, both Southworth and Vashon, and because we represent both Fauntleroy and Vashon, we have a little bit more clout. But keeping your legislators involved is going to be important in this process. And what you think?
Because there was a meeting last night. Were you there?
I was not there.
We had 2 separate meetings we had to go to, so we weren't there. But I know there's kind of a feeling that a lot of times the officials come and listen, and they nod and smile, and then they walk away and they do whatever they were going to do anyway. Is that not true? Do they actually pay attention?
I believe they pay attention. Since Lynn Griffith was the assistant secretary, and now Amy Scarton, I've seen a real change in the ferry system as far as their willingness to listen and their wanting to respond. There was a lot of criticism a year ago when the task force put together what we called the cop and the splitter on Fauntleroy. And this summer, where they had really worked together for a year and a half, I think you saw the difference. Yes, there were ferry lines, but when you see a Seattle cop walking a line, pulling people out because it's a Vashon-only load, with the walkie-talkie now to talk to the splitter down below, so mm-hmm. they know it's a red pickup is going to be the last one, mm-hmm. it made a huge difference in that. And those are the kind of things that we can help with that do make a difference. But I think they listen. I mean, that came to be because they wanted to see if something new would work. And they listened to people who were citizens as well as legislators.
Another thing that's been on a lot of people's minds lately is the jet path, the approach path mm-hmm. into SeaTac. Is that something that we just have to sit back and take, or is there really anything to be done about it?
I was thinking of that at 3 o'clock this morning when a really loud, really low jet flew over our house. We live off Monument Road, and I keep thinking, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at Vashon Highway, and they're just following it straight down. But I know that's not true.
I don't know that that is not true. I dealt with the FAA when we were actually fighting the helicopter pad or whatever at Tom Stewart's property here for Dow. And when they make decisions about flight paths, it's based on safety and what they're going to do and traffic. It is hard to move.
Yeah.
I know Senator Murray's office has been alerted and others at the federal level. That's a good way to go. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I do wish going back in time when Burien and
Normandy Park,
and everybody was fighting the third runway.
Mm-hmm.
We did to a degree because of Maury and the gravel pit. But most people here were complacent. And they thought the EIS was just fine. Well, the EIS was not for the third runway, and we're paying for it.
So, retirement looms.
Yes.
You'll be on your e-bike.
I will.
What other plans do you have besides just tooling around the island on your e-bike?
Spending more time with my grandsons,
A
little bit more time with my mother, and a lot more time with my husband,
who
has been incredibly supportive of this journey that we never planned.
Yeah.
So I guess you're not going to be knocking on doors in Eastern Washington.
Not really. I am on our campaign committee. I continue to try to help to make sure we grow our majority. And I do that actually through fundraising. But even that, once you leave office, you don't have the same clout, and that will ebb.
Yeah. That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Time for you to join the private sector.
Yes.
Sharon Nelson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.